Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up on December the 21st, the first ever webcast of the Phil Hendry Show. Our radio show is unusual in that people like to watch it as much as they like to listen to it. We've had big crowds for our broadcasts at the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills. We've had large crowds for any live remote broadcast that we've ever done. And I was just sitting here trying to think of how many remote broadcasts, live remotes that we've done. We've done two at the Museum of Television and Radio. We did in front of an audience. We did a week in New York in front of a variety of people, but I wouldn't say that was a bunch of listeners. That was just people from the industry in New York. We did, didn't we do another one in front of some folks? I did a couple in Miami. Stimuland, we did a live broadcast, but that wasn't really our show. So really, we've only done two. We've only done two. And we've had a variety of people come in who want to see the show. So what we thought we would do is a first ever webcast of our show with a new technology, a new kind of live video streaming. And I want to emphasize the word streaming. This is not reload and a new picture will come up. This is live video streaming. Our friends at Be Here providing the equipment, and it is phenomenal. It's 360-degree viewing. So we will have this on December the 21st. You'll not only see the show, you'll see us prepping the show, putting it together, coming up with ideas. And then you'll watch how we execute this program. Because as you know, on this show, I play not only myself, but a variety of different guests that call in, like the guy who was the Santa at the mall who got fired for telling kids they were lying sacks of crap for saying that they were good little kids when they weren't. Which, what do you think about that? Yeah, you know, I think the guy got a lot of heat, and I don't approve of his method in letting the kids, you know, straddle him or anything like that, but I do think that at some point a Santa's got to call a kid and say, well, you lying little piece of, I know you're lying. In any event, you'll see us do all of those characters and more as we webcast our show on December the 21st. There's only one way to get a hold of this webcast, and that's to get a backstage pass. You get the backstage pass by going to philhendryshow.com and signing up. You'll get a password, you'll get a username, you'll get all of that junk, and then you will have access to our website anytime you want. All of our listening, all of the live broadcasts of the show, which are broadcast 24 hours a day, including the live 3 hours that we do, a 30-day archive of our show, audio archives of bits that go back 7-8 years, and as a bonus, on December the 21st, you will get to see and hear the Phil Hendry Show webcast, so you'll see it in its regalia, 360 degrees. It's really a phenomenal piece of technology, and we'll have it for you. Get your backstage pass. It's only $6.95, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So is that the only time we've ever done a live thing? Oh, I know. We did it, yeah, New York, a week in New York, the two at the thing, the webcast. I did one in Miami once at the Coconut Grove. I did another at Mike Fratello's bar in Atlanta, and that's it. So only four times. So now everybody that listens to the show can see it, no matter where you are, and you can do it from the comfort of your own home. Unless, of course, your home isn't all that comfortable. You might want to take your computer and go somewhere else. Have yourself a couple of pops. Stay home from work. It'll be December the 21st. It's the Friday before Christmas, so a lot of you will be bailing out early. Six full hours. Come to work with us on the 21st. Beautiful thing. 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. That's our phone number. A German Santa Claus came under investigation on Monday for slapping a boy and locking him in a broom cupboard. The man apparently lost his patience when he was taunted by a group of children who wanted to see what he was wearing under his red Santa Claus suit, police said. So he locks the kid inside of a cupboard. Fine. I never smelt booze on a Santa Claus breath when I was a kid, did you? You know, they always make those jokes about Santa Claus drinking, and of course, a miracle on 34th Street, there was a Santa Claus who was taking a couple of nips. I never smelled liquor on the guy's breath, but beyond that, I don't think I would blame a Santa Claus for anything that he would pull on a kid, including calling him a lion sack of crap. And a lot of these parents calling in and saying, well, you know, Santa Claus doesn't exist. Well, to the kid, he exists, okay. So the kid, as far as he's concerned, he's lying to Santa. So calling him a lion sack is just a part of the pride. Maybe more kids would be good if they knew. I don't know. I got the kids' Christmas lists, I guess, about 2 days ago, and they're the usual 16 pages each. We got Catherine's, and we got the three boys, and they're all everything having to do with one version of Nintendo, PlayStation 2, or a Sony PlayStation, or the new Cube. Every one of them having to do with some aspect of that or another. Everything having to do with some kind of an electronic thing. Oh, yeah, and a VCR, and I mean, the stuff these guys are asking for. Had a big fight with my wife this morning concerning the value of a dollar and whether these guys should be expected to begin to pay for certain things. And my wife's philosophy is this: as long as they're getting good grades, then we should do whatever it is they need, you know. I mean, get them whatever they need, etc. Their job is to be good students. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Yeah, their job is to be a good student. And on top of that, it's also to learn a couple of other skills. On top of that, it's also to learn sort of the value of a dollar, and if I begin to sound too much like my father, just stop me, hard work. I got my first job when I was 11. Babysitting Mike. I'm just kidding. It wasn't babysitting. I forget what I... Oh, yeah, I know what it was. I was a paper boy for the old Arcadia Tribune. I got fired from the job. Was that your first job, a paper boy? Then I did lawn jobs. Then I washed dishes. And then I got into radio. I went from washing dishes to radio. You want to know just how hard it is to get into this business? Take a look at my career. I went from scrubbing out dishes at an old folks' home to my first disc jockey job. It was great. Oh, yeah, there was a couple of years in between where I was a cement finisher. Same difference. But these guys, so we had this argument this morning. Don't you understand? You know, you can't, if you do everything for them, they're going to, well, they're kids and they're going to find their way. They're going to be completely unprepared, I said. They're going to be just let loose into this world. They're going to think that they're going to get an executive level entry position at some law firm someplace. What are they going to do when they realize they're going to have to clerk for 2 or 3 years, being gophers for the older attorneys in the firm, doing paperwork, running out and getting coffee? No, if you get a college education, you get an entry-level position. Bullcrap! No, you don't. Well, how do you know? You don't have a college education. You're right about that. But I do know one thing. I don't have a college education, and there are people who've got master's degrees making one-tenth the money that I make. So how do you figure that one? And I've seen them, especially in broadcasting, I've seen kids come out of college with degrees in broadcasting, and guess what they're doing? They're getting coffee for people. They're making photocopies. They're taking carts and re-putting them in the rack. They're putting albums back in the music library. They're running out and getting people lunch. That's people with a degree in broadcasting from whatever school you want to name, okay? So now some guy comes out of a law school. Now maybe he's going to get a junior partner position. I don't know what he's going to get. But if he doesn't get the choice gig right off the bat for whatever reason, because not every cat that comes out of a law school gets a junior partner position at a law firm, does he? I mean, not every cat. Some of these guys have got to do some kind of grunt work. And I'm simply saying to her, what if it happens that these guys have got to do a little bit of grunt stuff? What if they got to go and do a little gopher stuff? They're not ready for it. They look at my life, they look at the lives of other adults that they see, and they think this is the way it's going to be. Hey, look at our stepdad, man. He comes home at night, he collapses on the floor face down and doesn't get up till the next morning at 5. What a nice life. You know, he comes home in his brand spanking, well, it's a 5-year-old piece of crap Volkswagen that he bought from his good friend Craig Taylor. What a great life. I can have that life. And my stepdad didn't go to college. I can do the same thing. You know what? They're right. They can do the same thing. I don't know why I'm arguing with her. But she wants them to go to college and, you know, and like that. All of those dreams, all of those fond dreams that mothers have. She wants them to be Ivy Leaguers with a V-neck sweater and an MG, driving around with a sort of a crew cut and, you know, some chick, a cheerleader, you know, smoking that kind of Sherlock Holmes pipe going, I say, Reggie, are you going over to the mixer this evening? That whole life, who knows if it'll happen for them. God bless them if it does. But in the meantime, I just want to see them get a little bit of that practical life experience under their belts. Because I want them to learn about life? No, because I want to see them suffer. Yes, I want them to learn about life. Is this a typical man thing? This is a male thing. And this is an argument that men and women have had for centuries. Every time a husband and wife talk about the welfare and the well-being of the kids, it's 9 times out of 10 the father saying, these guys have got to learn the brass tacks and the realities of life, and the mother saying, no, no, you know, you got to let them chill a little bit, and they got to, you know, this and that. What is that about? And we're always going to be right, and the women are always going to be wrong. But it's going to just keep on going, man, hundreds of years into the future. The mother protects, and the father tells the kid to grow a pair. Now, I'm sure that a lot of that comes from the sort of the Oedipal, you know, there's a competition between son and dad, and I'm going to make a man out of you, when in point of fact what he sees is competition for the for his wife. Yeah, and I understand. Yeah, I just laid too much. I laid so much Freud on you that I laid too much on myself. Now I'm tongue-tied. I got nothing else to say until we go through this commercial break. And I'm sure I'll have more on the other side. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. That number again. Well, you remember it. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So last night we went and we saw a play at the kids' school, right? These are high school students in this play. And it was really good. It was really funny. It was really well done. And one of the interesting things about the theater group at the high school is it also has most of the football players in it. I've never seen that before. When I was in high school, like the football players, they just didn't, they didn't know from theater. They thought the theater was where you peeled, you know, gum off the bottom of a seat. Well, whatever. But the point being, they're doing this play, and the actors, these high school, male high school student actors, did a comedic turn on the stage. At one point, they accidentally, two of the male actors on stage, accidentally kiss each other on the lips. Now, that's the kids of today, willing to experiment. And I'm not saying, when I say willing to experiment, I mean as artists, they're willing to kind of stretch it at the age of 15. Whereas that kind of artistic courage, you know, you're not supposed to get till you're at least in your 20s, right? And here these guys are doing it for a high school play. So what am I bellyaching about, whether they won't get a job or they won't go out and earn money or they won't, you know. They got more balls than I did at that age in certain areas. See, Craig was just telling me about how he had to buy all of his own surfboards when he was in high school, had to buy all of his own wetsuits when he was in high school, but I just laid that thing on him about two guys kissing, and he looked at me and went, well, I got to hand it to you, Phil, you're right about that. Two men kissing, it's got it all over me, having a job. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, and let's go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine. So, how are you?
Fine.
Good. I just want to say you have a great show. And,
well, you're very kind to say that.
You keep us laughing all the time.
Is that right?
I can't stop giggling, but hey, that's just part of being a female, I guess.
Where are you at?
Huh?
Where are you at?
I'm at home.
Whereabouts?
In Louisiana.
Oh, cool. What part of Louisiana?
Lake Charles.
Lake Charles.
Yeah.
I was in New Orleans for a year.
Oh, that's
I miss you, girls. Huh? Is that anywhere near Bogalusa?
That's like 4 hours away.
4 hours away.
Yeah.
Seems like a lifetime.
Yeah.
Well, Lake Charles I went through on the train, as a matter of fact, 4 years ago. It was a swamp and an oil rig, and that was it. And then I saw a lady beating her kid out in the driveway. So is that about what Lake Charles is? I'm kidding.
Oh, no.
I know. It's a very fine town.
Well, I guess.
Well, you're very sweet to call and just give me that compliment. Picked my day up.
You deserve it.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Hey, get that backstage pass.
Oh,
Or start giving them out, either one, but... No, seriously, we're having our webcast on the 21st. You got to check it out.
Okay, we
will. All right, kid.
Thank you.
Bye. Lisa, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I am a teacher in Clifford High School.
Yeah.
And I help with the kids when they do the musical. We just did a musical, and it was made up of mostly boys. And I think the two guys kissing each other on the lips just shows that they're really committed to what they're doing right now.
Believe me, I know.
I see these guys get into it almost even more than the girls, just getting into their, playing their roles and everything. They love it. Once they get into drama and once they get started on the stuff, they love the stuff.
These guys last night did Charlie's Aunt. You know that play?
Yeah, I do.
And they did, and it was the sophomore and junior classes combined, and at one point, and it was really funny. And you're right. It's better than anything that we did when we were in high school, the way these kids are committing to the... to the thing, and I don't know if some of these kids are the sons and daughters of movie actors or not, but they were really good. But to see these two boys, 16 and 15 years old, doing this comic lip kiss, there's no way, man. I mean, you would have had to have paid me at least $100 to even consider that.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
But,
good for them.
Yeah, the actors are better today. Hello? Okay, she said good for them, and then she jumped. She was calling us from, I guess her and her husband are doing some pleasure skydiving this evening. All right, Phil, we got to go. 1-800-449-8686. Here is John. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, John.
Hey, you know, I wanted to know if any of the other talk show hosts that you spoofed, if they've ever given you feedback.
You mean Art Bell?
Art Bell.
Yeah, Art likes it.
Yeah, Art likes it. What about, like, Jim Rome?
I haven't talked to him about that, although I don't even talk to Rome. I mean, he's off the air at noon. I don't get into work till about 11 in the morning. He's gone. Rarely do we have a conversation. I mean, I had a conversation, you know, when I first started working here with Jim. Our wives met. I did the kind of courteous, cordial thing, but... You know, I'm wrapped up in my world. He's wrapped up in his world. He thinks his stuff doesn't stink. I think that mine's pretty fragrant. So, you know, we're like a couple of ego cases, I guess.
Well, you're a lot better than him, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. But no, I'm kidding about that. I know that Jim's wife likes to listen to my show. But anyway, he's a very talented guy. But the fact of the matter is that he's off the air before I even get in here. So we rarely see each other. That cat's up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to start doing his show.
Well, man, keep up the good work.
Well, thanks.
I just also want to say that I am a regular listener of Art Bell also, and now it's starting to sound fake whenever I listen to him.
Why, because of the stuff that we've done?
Yeah, I'm like, isn't it General Johnson Jameson?
Your Art's show is sounding fake?
Yeah. I hear him doing those ads, and I'm like, what?
I'm going to have to, that's what I thought the first time I heard Art, and he's talking about a hand crank radio. I'm going, what are you talking about? The only thing hand cranked around here is either the ice cream or the, I don't want to say. All right, man. Thank you, John.
Hey, keep it up, man. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, that whole world, you know, radio is such a high-power world that we're all such big stars, you know. I just don't have time to talk to Jim Rome. Are you kidding me? No, he's a nice guy for what I know about him, but I don't know that much about the guy. I used to have an office right next door to him, and one time he came in and he said something along the lines of, would you guys keep it down? Because we were laughing too loud. And I walked over and I know what it was. We were being rather profane and laughing. And he said, would you guys keep it down? And I went over and I said, geez, I'm sorry. Were we too loud for you, Jim? He said, I'm only screwing around. I'm just kidding. So that's, you know, that was the big exchange we had. All right, here is Matt on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
And I'm sure callers have... wondered if you've ever tried doing this, but I didn't know if you guys have ever called into other talk radio shows and taped it, and you play one of your guests, and then we get to hear it later on your show.
I did one time, but I can't tape it, and I can't play it back because you're not allowed to tape somebody without their knowledge.
What if you call in during their show when you're being filmed live, and we hear it live? That's not taping.
No, but if I'm calling somebody else's show and I'm taping that and they don't know they're being taped, it's and also there's a law against rebroadcasting somebody else's feed.
But I think it'd be funny as hell, though, if you could do that.
Yeah, it would be cool. There's a lot of great things that we'd love to do were we allowed by the attorneys to do them, even though they let other people do them. So I don't know. I listen to people doing out calls all the time, telling people that, you know, they're not telling people they're on the air until after the call, and I don't get it, because that's supposedly like a criminal offense. And I got busted big time for all that stuff. I got people, you know, I had lawyers tell me, you can't do that anymore. And yet I listen all around the dial. I hear guys calling, hi, this is, you're on the air with the Boofy and Bill Show, and you're not allowed to do that. You got to get their permission first, and only then do you put them on the air. But those guys don't get popped because their bosses enjoy life. Mine, on the other hand, they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop, just waiting for the other barrel to click, just waiting for the old shotgun shell to drop into the chamber of life. Kid, this Taliban kid from Marin County, and the father is on TV, and everybody's looking for a pass for this kid because he's just a sweetheart. He's 20 years old, and yeah, he had an AK-47, but what's that between friends? Isn't there a thing called treason? I think there is, and I think you go to jail for it, or you get shot. And the guy's 20, so he's no kid, and why are we fooling around with this story now on day number three? Day three of this story, they got a big expose here in USA Today, and then we got a thing here with Larry King and the father and the mother and Dan Rather, and he was a real nice guy, and next thing you know, he's carrying a gun, and he's going to gun down Marines, or what he thinks was a Marine, or is a Marine, or maybe he don't even know. Maybe he thought they were going on a freaking hayride, I don't know, but I think the guy ought to be turned over to the whatever they turn him over to, the NSA, the CIA, the Interpol, beat him with a length of rubber hose, throw him into a hole, and that's the end of that. Now, does that sound Machiavellian? Does that sound harsh? Does it sound draconian? Yeah, but I thought this thing is called a war. And here's Junior, who, you know, I'm sure he's kind of the freak of the neighborhood. Guy's probably about 150 pounds, 6'1", you know, a real tall drink of water. Kind of mellow, you know, a couple of girlfriends. Studies the ancient texts, kind of into Eastern mysticism. Maybe experimented with peyote and marijuana at one point in his life. Probably has been into some form of psychotropic. Decides he's going to hit the trail, man, do Europe, do Asia. Use a couple of dollars of his old man's. Use a couple of bucks from his mom. See the world, do the number, find himself, go to Nepal, go to Kathmandu, smoke some dope, get laid, whatever he does, goes to Pakistan, studies Arabic, picks up a gun, thinks he's going to shoot some people and come on home, man, and they're going to have a block party for him. They're going to have a welcome home junior. What they ought to be doing is sticking bamboo under his nails to figure out whether he knows where bin Laden is, which I doubt very much that he does, but, you know, might as well get as much information as from as many guys as you possibly can. And a guy that called yesterday says, how come they whisked him away? The Americans grabbed him and whisked him away. I'll tell you why they whisked him away. They're going to stick him in a hole, turn a light on, and ask him a couple of questions, like maybe a few hundred. Here's Mike on the Phil Hendry Show. Mike? God, after that big, long, hot gas bag wrap of that, I don't know. I wouldn't have anything to say either. Mike? Let's go over to Steve. Steve, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, I have to ask you this. With all the military crap coming down, there's been like an absence of Lloyd. What happened to old Lloyd?
Yeah, what happened to Lloyd? When's the last time we had Lloyd on, Janice? I know that we had Lloyd within a past week, I think.
And that was probably the day I met.
And he was talking about, and he mentioned his Korean War roots, and he mentioned some, and Janice is going through our logbook right now. She's looking through our logs. If you'll pardon the expression, and she's going to find out the last time we did Lloyd. When?
And because he's that guy crazy. I mean,
he was in his Winnebago. Yeah, he was driving down the road in his Winnebago, and he feels that he has the right not to use turn signals.
Well,
he can just go wherever he wants. And the last time he did that, he ran some guy down. I'm trying to tell you what he did here, Steve. Hold on. The last time he did that, he ran the guy down 50 foot a cliff, and then what else? Oh, he took off some guy's door who flipped him off. So that was Lloyd. That was last week, Steve. Keep listening. Here's Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, speaking of, I'm calling from WELI area, by the way, New Haven.
How you doing?
Good. You're talking about you know, people that they'll tape other guests from other shows and then
right.
play it back on the radio.
Yeah.
There are guys that do that and then play it back, like on the Stern Show and
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
The known terrorist guys that do that. So I don't know how they get away with that stuff.
Well, they got to get permission. You're supposed to I know what the law in the state of Florida is, and I think it's similar in the state of California, and I don't know if it changes state by state.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
You're supposed to give you're supposed to get the permission of the person before you even roll tape. In other words, you're supposed to say to them, "I am now about to tape this phone conversation. Do I have your permission?" And they have to say yes. Or if you're going to put them on the air, you have to say, "I'd like to put you on the air. Do I have your permission?" And only then are you allowed to put them on the air. Now,
yeah.
why don't people do more things about it? And why am I ratting people out now that do? Because I took a hit for this. Okay, I got in trouble with the lawyers because of this stuff. But I listen to other guys. You know, when you do that, that takes away about maybe 25% of your material. These other guys are getting away with it. You're damn right. I hope they drop a freaking bucket on those guys too.
Yeah, no, they're getting away with it in a large way.
Well, nobody calls them on it because they're working for companies that, or their listeners apparently. Maybe that just don't piss people off the way I do. But for whatever reason, I got into trouble for it, and I was told by the attorneys to stop it, and I did, and I don't do it. And Johnny B., I mean, certain other people get to do it.
What am I going to do?
I'm going to quit this stinking. I'm going to quit this rotten business.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's an excellent idea.
Get my only nighttime entertainment. What am I going to do?
But, I don't know what you're going to have. You're going to have to check out that Survivor Antarctica. All right, Jim.
Hey, listen, those 15-year-old kids that were kissing in the play.
Yes.
I'm 35 years old. If myself or anybody I knew did that kind of thing when they were in high school, they'd have been beaten within an inch of their life.
Yeah,
what's
I mean, it's
happened,
a...
What's happened in the last 15 years where guys in high school can do that and get away with it? I don't get it.
They're having more fun maybe with life than we did. You know, I mean, they're not hung up on the things that we were hung up on, which is a testament to the very fine parenting that they're getting. Thank you very much. Let me just pat myself on my back. Pat myself on my back. 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, I'm getting out of this rotten business. I figure 5 more years, I've got just enough money in the bank, and I can go, baby, go. I'm gone. Goodbye. 5 more years, just a few more dollars, we're done. What are you going to do, Taylor? You're going to sit there and look stupid at some other guy. Somebody else. I'll let Janice take over. Yep, 5 more years, and I think we've got just enough packed away, and that's it. Winnebago, me, the wife, campgrounds. Just from there on out, we'll just go from one campground to the next. Pelton will be in jail. Chris will be looking dumb at some other guy. Janice will, I don't know what the hell she'll be doing. She'll open a bar someplace. She'll be the headliner. And I'll be cruising in my Winnebago. And that'll be it. Because as long as I can't call people up and put them on the air without their permission, there's no point in going on. Troy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing, Phil?
Good.
First time caller. I never really listened to you too much, but today I've got some enjoyment. Seems like a pretty straight up show. A couple things I wanted to actually bring up and see what you thought about it. As far as that John Walker from California, the Taliban American guy.
Right.
This kind of goes back to you guys were talking a little earlier about the different generations, like when I was a kid kind of a deal, they had, you know, the work ethic and, you know, all that stuff. This is a prime example of that. He's a 20-year-old man with nothing better to do than, you know, start studying the Quran, and he heads overseas, and now he's fighting us against our troops, and that kind of just puts it all in place for me, because right now I don't see the patriotism that my father saw and my grandfather saw.
I do. There's plenty of patriotism, but this one guy.
No, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that
I
it
see
comes
more.
Down to, you wouldn't see this
how
back
old,
then,
how old,
what I'm saying.
Wait a minute, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Well, you saw more patriotism in your lifetime than I saw in mine. When I was in high school, it was the height of the anti-Vietnam protests and anti-establishment protests, and the flag was being burned. I mean, this is I've never seen as much patriotism than I've seen lately.
Well, I guess I don't know.
What patriotism did you see?
Well, I've seen a ton of patriotism. I guess I'm trying to say is that they don't look at things the same way as now.
This guy belongs in a freaking soft room. This guy's nuts. This kid,
who's that?
This John Walker kid.
Oh, yeah.
This is a misguided, messed up kid who You know, I wouldn't put the guy on trial for treason. I don't know what I'd do. I think I'd put him in psychiatric evaluation. I think he's whacked out, if you want my honest opinion. I think this is a kid who needs a doctor. Now, some people may say, oh, I see, Phil, so he's not allowed to fight for the Taliban. No, he can fight for the Taliban all he wants. The fact that he comes from Marin County and is fighting for the Taliban, put those two together, that means a soft room in my book. That means they ought to have this guy under a 72-hour observation. And I, seriously, I really believe the guy needs a doctor. He needs a freaking head shrinker.
When I saw that, I couldn't believe it. It was almost like a shock, but I guess there's three of them, huh?
Whatever. Yeah, I suppose. But the three guys and the rest of us kind of like living here, as far as I know. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, this guy, this John Walker kid, to me, this guy looks like he's got a couple of screws loose. Oh, okay, Phil. So, in other words, the guy's not allowed to be a Muslim and he's not allowed to go fight for the Taliban. He can do whatever he wants to do. I suppose the guy could eat his own feces if he wanted to. I suppose there is some, isn't he protected constitutionally? But at some point, you got to look at his behavior and say, this is 2 and 2, you know, don't make 5. You go over, you're studying Islamic law. He says, well, the Taliban, they're the only government that protects Islamic law. Therefore, I'm going to pick up a gun and I'm going to fight Americans. Well, if I take him at face value, then I have to incarcerate him as a POW and try him for treason. Now, do you want to go down that road or do you want to go down the road that this is a guy who's 20 years old and who knows what kind of a home life, who knows what he's trying to prove? I don't know whether he's pissed off at somebody or something or whoever. And I think that you ought to just sit him down and say, now, here's a couple of books of ink blots. I just want you to tell me what you see. And then later on, we're going to have lunch in the day room, and we'll play Scrabble. And he'll just go, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
On yesterday's show, Jay Santos was with us, and Jay, of course, is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he was talking to a lady about how his son saw Osama bin Laden on the news and mistook him for Santa Claus.
Bill Henry, flashback.
First of all, with all my respect, Mr. Santos, I'm a mother, and I have a 2-year-old.
You have a what, ma'am?
I have a 2-year-old
girl. All right,
girl.
So you understand. They're too stupid to understand the difference between Santa Claus.
Sir, I'm really sorry that you're talking about your child stupid. My daughter watches the TV, and she's telling me, Mom, this is the President Bush. And she knows who is Santa Claus.
Because he wears a suit.
Please don't interrupt me,
well,
sir.
He wears a
Let
suit.
Me
Santa
finish
Claus
my comments because I have a question.
Does your
for
child
you.
Have a problem? Doesn't understand the difference between Santa Claus and President Bush? Jesus.
That's no, sir, it. You did not, you
That's
did
not
understand
she, no,
because
the lady didn't
you
say
interrupt
that.
Me.
What did you say?
I was saying, when my daughter watches the news, and when she sees the President Bush, she recognizes him. When my daughter sees the Osama bin Laden, she said, this is the bad person because she cannot pronounce the name.
And she's not pointing at President Bush.
So no, she's pointing Osama bin Laden, sir.
All right,
but
sure.
I have a question to you.
How do you know it's Osama bin Laden, ma'am?
Oh, come
because
on.
Because I'm watching the news with her and I'm explaining
well,
to her
you know
what's
it
happening.
How do you know it isn't one of those tablecloth heads? They all look the same.
No, they don't all look the same.
Sir, I would like to ask you a question, if I may.
Why does your kid hate Santa Claus, ma'am, is the question we want to ask.
And you didn't say her son hates Santa Claus. Go ahead, Elena.
Okay, because you see,
16-345.
I have a question.
If Mr.
Santos' son make a mistake and ask if Jesus is Santa Claus, what he's going to say? To take the icons out of the church?
I'm going to say we got a problem. Yes, ma'am. I mean, if children think that Osama looks like Jesus, we got a problem with Jesus Christ.
We don't?
Maybe we got
or
a
maybe
problem
we
with
do
us.
Have- Or maybe we have a problem with the parents that they don't have time to sit and talk with their kids.
Well, you, Elena, I would never say that you're a bad parent. I think you're a great parent. That's why I say your kid's too stupid. You're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. But your kid is a clown.
My child is not stupid, sir.
Yeah, her child knows the difference between President Bush
and Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Duh. One of them's got a beard. The other one doesn't. But what about two guys that have a beard? See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Elena. Bush doesn't have a beard.
No, sir. No, sir. My daughter goes and she knows on the mall who is Santa Claus, and she never said that this is Osama bin Laden or vice versa.
She doesn't say, can I go sit in Osama bin Laden's lap?
No,
well,
sir.
Ma'am, you are... You said your
I think that you should sit and talk to your son, sir, because I believe that there are so many kids that they know the difference, even though they're 3 years old.
Your son sees bin Laden and says, bad man. My question is, did you do something to your child to traumatize your child into hating Santa Claus?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, no, you
sir.
Said
you
know he pointed at a
you're
picture
really
of Santa Claus.
Something. The only thing I would like to say...
No, she did not say that. She said that he pointed at a picture of Santa Claus and said he was a bad man.
That's what I said.
I mean, no. She pointed at...
See, you pointed at a picture of Santa Claus and said he's a bad man.
No, sir, you're confusing yourself.
She pointed at a picture of Santa Claus. I mean, her son pointed at a picture of bin Laden and said he's a bad man.
That's not what you said originally.
I know!
Exactly, this is what I said, sir. Yes, that was exactly what I said.
You're confusing me.
Mr. Henry, if you're that easily confused, and your listeners are that easily confused, I submit,
sir,
that you're confusing the public.
I would like to pray to God that we don't have a lot of people like you over there.
Me? I'm trying to save lives. I'm trying to save lives, and you're trying to tell me?
Yes.
About little tiny kids saying, look, there goes Jesus Christ down the street, and it's some towel head trying to blow up a building? No, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Well, good luck to you, sir, with your 3-year-old.
Elena, thank you for your call.
Bill Hendricks, flashback.
That was a good flashback from yesterday's show. And it also is a good flashback because after eating the fast food that I did for lunch today, I had an emergency run to the bathroom just moments ago, just seconds ago. And Craig is like shocked. He's stunned that I made it back in time. 3 minutes, went down, and apparently one of the toilets overflowed in the men's room, so the guys are down there with mops and buckets. And the guy goes to me, he says, sorry, sir, the floor is all wet in there. I said, I don't care, I'm coming through, man. Well, I'm coming on through, baby. And if I got to use the woman's head, I'm going to do that too. Oh, man, I feel fine. It was just whatever we had. Oh, I know what we had, but I don't want to mention the name of the company because ordinarily we like their food, and unfortunately today it gave me some problems, so I don't want to mention El Pollo Loco. But I think that... God. Pretty wicked. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. All right, so you got the goods. Backstage pass, $6.95, gets you all of the audio, all of the live listening to the Phil Hendry Show that you could possibly want. For instance, today's show, if you haven't been listening to it live, you can listen to it for the next 24-hour period. We have a 30-day archive of all of our shows going back 30 days, so if you missed a particular show that you wanted to hear, you can go back, check that out. We have a daily show log to tell you what was on each show, and we archive all of that so you can sort of cross-reference. We have a search engine, so all kinds of very literate and cross-referencing kind of crap. We also have archived bits, long form, short form, stuff going back years, stuff going back to other radio stations, other times, other mental, phases, other sicknesses, other illnesses that we had. And we're going to bonus you this month on December the 21st, the first ever Phil Hendry Show webcast. We will webcast not only our show, we will webcast our show prep process. It starts at 1 o'clock Pacific and goes all the way till 7 o'clock Pacific. And in addition, the technology that we will be utilizing to video stream this show. This is streaming. This is not that click to reload the image bullcrap. The technology that we will be using will allow you to see a 360-degree view of our studios and our offices where we prepare our show. So it's technologically cutting edge. The radio show, the Phil Hendry Show, is comedically and theatrically cutting edge in the business of radio. We're just trying to do our very best to bring you something different, not only on the radio, but now on the web. You got to get your backstage pass, philhendryshow.com.